Welcome back to Out of the Hourglass. I'm your podcast host, Molly Nolan, and today we're talking about family business dynamics. And to do that, we've brought on Brian Nolan, our managing partner here at NCG and senior business coach. It's a pretty important conversation. And most folks know here at Nolan Consulting Group, we are a family business. We also work with a lot of companies that employ family members, whether it's a husband and wife team, children in the business, nieces or nephews, or one day the thought is you might have family members in the business. It's important to think about how that impacts the dynamics, not only within your family, but also within the organization. We have an upcoming workshop in May on this topic, but we also deemed it worthy enough to make it a podcast conversation to share some different pieces of those dynamics with you all to really begin to bring context and awareness to where are areas of clarity, whether it's pathway to shareholdership, employment agreements, family values that you might want to start thinking about if you currently operate as a family business or plan to employ one day. I think you'll enjoy this conversation, whether or not family is in your business at the moment, because it's one that really hits home to think about how you even operate within your own family's business or not. I hope you enjoy this conversation, and if you want to talk more about this topic in particular, please reach out. This is one we are very passionate about. This episode is brought to you by the Sherwin-Williams Company, our premier Grand Summit sponsor and a supporting partner of the Summit member group. Let's just get started here. Brian Nolan, how are we today?
We are terrific, Molly. That's the story that I always tell myself.
I was going to say, is every day terrific? I don't think
so. Well, if you start talking to yourself the right way, usually it ends up better.
That's true. Yeah. There's some validity to that statement.
Oh, yeah.
Brian, it's been a little while since you've been on the podcast. I actually don't recall.
What's going on? Are you guys like chasing me out of the family business?
I don't know if we really need you anymore.
Wow, that hurts.
Yeah.
I think my ego needs to get adjusted here a little bit.
No. Of course, I know, especially from listeners who have talked to me directly, they love hearing your voice. So while we're mixing things up, getting some different voices on here, you are a staple of Out of the Hourglass.
Well, thank you.
Don't go anywhere.
It's good to still be needed.
Yeah. since we last talked to you, I think it was the beginning of this year, just kind of a getting started to 2024. Where you been? What have you been working on?
Well, you know, the Grand Summit was huge for me in terms of content. I was able to do a keynote with Colin Nolan. Being part of the family business, it was important to do it with him. And I'll tell you, it was so much joy. Just as you introduced us, we both love history, and so we wove history into business and the lessons taken from it. I did a PCA presentation that was huge. We've been doing a lot of Sherwin-Williams work with Build Your Business workshops. I've been doing a lot of succession planning with customers. I would say in many regards, I'm as busy as I've ever been. I've also started as people know, a nonprofit foundation for people who stutter, kids who stutter, Nolan Stuttering Foundation. That has been a lot of work. I'm part of a roundtable down in Washington, D.C., talking to other nonprofits about stuttering. So I've been really busy. In some respects, it's been the most effective time of my life. And I find time to work out still. I think as you get older, the key is to just move every day. So swimming has become my new love. So that's what's going on.
not too much over in Brian Nolan's world. Well, good. It's good to kind of actually pause here and talk about this particular topic because, one, Nolan Consulting Group is a family business, and we work with a lot of family businesses, different dynamics, different relational types, but family businesses nonetheless. So we have a workshop coming up that is in May that focuses on the dynamics of a family business and really kind of the framework for a healthy relationship between family and business. And I wanted to take this opportunity to, one, kind of preview that workshop a little bit because I think it can be daunting. It can be a little intimidating. Afraid to get too deep, right, in a workshop like that. But also just to really kind of highlight if that's not a place where you're at, what are the things to start maybe thinking about? What does family business mean? What are the core components of it? You said the other day, this is one of your favorite workshops. Why is that?
No, but it is my favorite workshop. So I probably say that about a lot of things, Mal. But I think I have more passion around this because it's emotional. I first want to start by saying every small business is a family business.
Interesting.
So I want everybody to just sort of pause. Every small business where the husband or the wife brings it home and talks about it, they're talking about everything from making payroll to wearing all these hats. You know, I was just down in Florida, and Agnes and I rented e-bikes, and it was from this great newly started company. It was a husband and wife. They were in their 50s, and they showed up in this huge van because they deliver the bikes to you, and they started the business last year together. And we ended up having a conversation about family business and about boundaries. And I said, so when you guys are done at 6 at night, do you still talk about business? And they both looked at each other and they said, we're working on that. I said, well, if you're interested, give us a call. Small business, like the whole family's involved in somehow, whether it's the business owner is stressed, the whole family is stressed. So,
yep.
And that, obviously, if I can just say, in our businesses, you know, you two, you and Kyle are part of the family business, and we have to work at separating me being a dad and me being a boss or a boss of a boss. Kevin has 4 kids in the business. So I will say this, and if family business works, it is the best thing in the whole world. If family business doesn't work, it's the worst thing in the whole world. It's kind of like a marriage. Mm. If it's a good marriage, there's nothing better. If it's a bad marriage, there's nothing worse. And so we need to be intentional about making family business the work of the work to work on the family.
Well, because I feel like it can seem so easy or such a, you know, right path for so-and-so to join the business because they grew up in the business. But is it really the right decision? Are we really making intentional decisions around that happening? We see that all the time, right? I mean, what are some unique challenges that family businesses, so, you know, step aside the thought that any small business has a family business feel, but businesses that actually have family members working within the organization, what challenges do they face compared to other types of businesses?
You know, I'm going to take a lot from Jared Bias, who runs Common Good Family Business Advisors, because he's the first person in 2016 who taught me about family business as a discipline. As you know, he coached us.
Yeah.
He coached you, your development here when you left and came back. So he does a lot of discussion of roles. And what roles do you play in the family? And what roles do you play at business? And how do those roles carry over from the family to the business? What are healthy roles and what are not healthy roles? You and Colin are siblings. You're 16 months older. So are you...
He always thinks that I'm bossing him around.
So
always.
It's Molly Bossy Pants, yeah. Right? And so Jared goes through a list of healthy roles and unhealthy roles. Unhealthy roles are, you know, mascot, hero, scapegoat, caretaker, enabler, bossy pants. Healthy roles are maybe organizer, nurturer, listener, problem solver, stabilizer. So it's really important to...
I'm happy to be called any one of those.
And he wasn't good. I think so it's really important to separate your roles in the family from your roles in the business. And I need to start with like the most important statement in this whole podcast. The business needs to serve the family. The family is not serving the business. And if there's problems that are making the family have pain, then we need to stop. Because business is a game. The family is real. And the business exists to serve a happy family. And Ma, I've seen a lot of husband-wife teams break up because the business becomes the overarching discussion item. When there are problems in the business, there are problems at home. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm so passionate about this is probably my dad. I mean, his ability to understand that the family values matter the most and that you need to call time out when the business is hurting the family is huge. So that's a problem. And then the roles. So we talk about functional roles in the business of sales, operations, and finance, visionary integrator. Those are the roles we need to happen. We need to make sure that there are job descriptions for family members, not just your family members. So we'll find a spot for you somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
That doesn't create a good environment, not only within the family, but also for the other members of the team who have earned their spot, have, you know, have the skills, have the role title, have the responsibilities. You want a place where there's mutual respect, right?
Everybody's watching the son or daughter
of
the owner. And
of course.
That's a two-way thing. Like the son or daughter feels like everybody's watching me. I need to. So
yep.
You probably have to work harder, Ma, if you're the son or daughter to show that you
yep.
belong, right?
I would emphasize that 100%. Yeah. You feel a little bit of an extra weight, good or bad. And I mean, I experienced this myself. I mean, working in the business from the very start, you know, having head trash around, you know, amongst my own peers, not necessarily within, you know, the business, but within my own peers, like, I have this role now in this business, has my last name attached to it. Did I earn this? Is it, you know, is this have the same weight as somebody who got a job at KPMG or so on and so forth? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, do I ever?
Yeah, I mean, of course you do. I mean, we worked through that in many, you know, for years of my younger professional life. But I do think there's this immense privilege of being able to work for the family in the family business, but there's also this immense level of, I don't want to say anxiousness, but just awareness.
Responsibility. You're carrying the load. Yes. You're carrying some stuff. Yeah. Your story is such a good story. So for those of you who don't know sort of family business principles, we suggest that a son or daughter go work somewhere else first for like a year or two, to have someone else manage them.
Yes. And to experience a different working environment.
Right. And then, with you, you graduated before I kind of was into the whole family business discipline.
Yep.
And I was like, Molly was always the best student and you loved college. I remember being like, April of your senior year, I'm like, so Ma, what are you going to do? You're like, I don't know.
Well, my purpose, what I thought I wanted to do was law school. And after taking some pre-law classes, I realized I'm not that committed to that idea anymore. And that's a moment of panic for someone who has had that idea for years.
Sure is.
Who picked a college track leading them to that kind of that direction. So frankly, you did me a favor when I was a law graduate. I was trying to figure out, I did not have a business degree. Mm. I was political science, knew how to write, knew how to do a lot of research. And you said, why don't you come work for the family, you know, come work, you know, at that time, Nolan Summit Services, and just learn a little bit about business and be exposed to different organizations. I worked in our call center. I mean, I definitely earned my spot.
You did.
I answered a lot of phone calls. I mean, I worked right alongside a lot of other folks in the business here. And then here, you know, where I was 4.5 years later, and I was still there, and I kind of had a moment of panic. And this, you know, what else is out there? Am I never going to experience anything else? Is this what I'm meant to do? And that was the timeout that we needed.
It was. I remember when you were graduating, I was like, Molly's available? A first round draft pick? she's available. So I scooped you up with that in mind. But then we did, and you did good work. And then people know me, my top values, engagement. And I know Molly pretty well, and I sense disengagement. And for all the reasons you said, like, am I going to be here for the next 50 years?
Yeah. Well, and I was kind of still trying to figure out what my real role was.
Sure.
And then I was planning of programs, but I was also sitting in on client calls and doing work and doing trainings on pipeline deals. I was a little all over the place, and I couldn't quite put my finger on what made me happy.
To my bad, I didn't give you the right functional roles. But you were trying different things.
I was trying different things.
Yeah. And then you left, and where'd you go?
I went to a startup in Philly, a financial tech startup, and was there for 3.5, almost 4 years. Learned a lot, met a lot of incredible people. Learned about working in a different organization, and a startup is in a very, very different environment, just to say the least. But it was good for me. And I learned over time what I wanted to do. And
yeah.
There became an opportunity for me to rejoin Nolan. And I, those were intentional conversations. You and I talked about it. I met Catherine for coffee on a Saturday morning, and she and I talked about what that would look like. I met Colin for lunch one day in the city, and we talked about what that would look like.
Colin went somewhere else first.
Yes, Colin worked for actually a startup. Business first, out of college.
And then came here. So he came here with the intent on being here for the next 50 years.
Yeah. And then, as he kind of came in, I left and was gone for a few years. So we each had the chance to kind of work independently without, you know, another sibling in the business. And so it was good that we had certain conversations before I entered. And now here we are about 4 years later that I've been back. So time has quite flown. But that entire scenario is very vivid and sticks with me because I'm definitely a better person for it.
Yeah.
Just different tools and technology and way of thinking and being exposed to really awesome folks from my previous company who I still have, you know, contact with today. I would do it again in a heartbeat.
What you found out, though, I think, if this is right, some of the values and the culture in the other company you work for.
Yeah, we weren't necessarily aligned.
Not aligned.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite your sandbox. Because I think when you own your own business, the autonomy is the most important thing. And to help create your own role in the business that fits you.
Yes.
I think that matters a lot.
It does. For me, it does.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of our team members here, you know, they know they have a certain level of autonomy. We're a small team, and a lot of, I know, businesses who are listening to this are in that same environment. Everybody pulls weight. And if your weight is not being pulled, it's pretty obvious and it's pretty clear, right? And so how we operate here is, yeah, there are policies and there are expectations around, you know, being in the office and responsibilities and so forth. But I'm also not going to watch you like a hawk when you have a dentist appointment or you need to leave early for something, because if you're getting your work done for me and you have good values, you bring good culture, we're on the same page, we have an open communication channel, we're good.
Absolutely.
There's a level of trust there.
Yeah. If people follow the values,
yes,
of effectiveness, caring, the things that matter to us, then
and people feel,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I feel it. I mean, and I know of other, you know, businesses who operate the same way, and that creates, I don't think there ever is that true work-life balance. We talked about this before. There's times in life where you lean one way on the scale more than others, but having that level of autonomy, in a sense, makes you feel like you're creating a little bit more balanced life for yourself.
Yeah. You know, balance is a interesting word. Balance, you're in balance when you're practicing your values. So the exercise real quick is to list your top five values, and then now look at your calendar and I'll tell you what you value. I'm busier than I've ever been before, but I'm not out of balance. I'm doing extremely purposeful stuff. So there are times when I'm just nailing it and working a lot of hours, but I'm in balance because I'm like maximizing my purposeful
self.
Yeah,
you protect time on your calendar for those things that you need to have there to keep you balanced.
Yeah.
So obviously there's a lot that you can, I think you can hear the passion behind Brian and I about the values aligned in a business, and obviously the role of family members within, and why we feel like it's, we've, like every podcast we do, we practice what we preach here, right? And so we are working through these things ourselves. We've been working through these things, and we so often come across clients that we work with or customers that are experiencing similar things, or we can kind of see three steps ahead, that's going to be a problem someday. Hence why, you know, you have worked individually with clients on these things. But in the last several years, we've said there's a need to make this, to really introduce the concept to businesses who have not really thought about structure behind these dynamics.
Right. So let's talk about family business systems.
Yes.
Right. So we're talking about being intentional, you know, so it's emotional, but there are intentional systems that keep the emotions safe.
So for those that have joined this workshop in the past, we like to keep it small, rather intimate, so that there's opportunity to really kind of focus on your... Three to four families, really focus on, you know, your business. But there are a couple of questions that you ask participants to think about, you know, before they show up to this. And I'm just going to read a couple of them. Mm-hmm. One is... Can you name some roles that you are playing in the family or the business that you no longer want to play? Do you have a clear functional organizational chart that you can use to create better boundaries? If not, why not? Regarding relational boundaries, what does your family business struggle with the most? Why? What are one to two practical ways you can start practicing clearer roles or better boundaries when you get back to work? So this begins to get them, and you don't have to have all the answers up front, right? But it gets the juices flowing, as, you know, what do I do? What's my role in the family? Maybe you're the one that plans all the events, plans the trips, plans the parties. Maybe you're always the one who mom and dad are asking to come fix things. What are the roles that you play there versus what are the roles that you're playing in the business? I mean, just get the juices flowing. When you start asking those questions, or in that first session, start getting some feedback about those things, what's the kind of responses that
that's
tend to hear?
Great question. What I feel is like there's a weight lifted off people's shoulders that they've been keeping things inside, and now there's a safe venue for them to share, communicate what they're thinking.
It's like we can finally air it out a little bit.
Air it out in a safe manner. And it's got to be safe. And so there's ways that you can make it safe and not safe. It's not you statements. You need to make I statements, how I feel, those type things. So that's the first thing, is that, oh my gosh, and now we have to clean it up, right? Now we got to pick up the pieces.
Right.
So now we need to put some systems and tools in place once people talk about maybe roles they're playing that they don't want to. Often it's clarity. I don't know what my role is exactly. And a lot of times I don't know what my parents' succession plan looks like. I don't know what ownership in the future looks like. I'd like to kind of know that. Or maybe the parent thought that it was obvious. So we try and take away the making up the stories piece that everybody does and begin to document. And a lot of the family business systems are about documenting the expectations. And, you know, so I'll start with the behavioral covenants. And this is how, so let's talk about boundaries, because that's going to play right into this.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, one of the spouses will say, you know, we get into bed at night and we're talking about finances of the business. Oh my gosh.
That creates for a great sleeping environment.
Oh.
Here I am going to bed thinking about, you know, the KPIs that we're missing this month, and anxiousness and nightmares unfold.
So in this covenant document, we establish boundaries and do not talk business during family time. So I like them to put in a hour. So after 6:30 at night, we don't talk business. But we allow ourselves quick from, you know, 6 till 6:30, talk about what we need to. We do this when we go away as a family. We'll have a quick huddle, and Colin might say, or I may say, I'm probably worst at it. Hey, do you mind if I just grab you before the, you know, we get into family time? I want to just hit this up. And then, so then we zip it shut, put it into a compartment, and we don't bring it up again, and we have family time. I work on becoming a better dad. And so those boundaries are really key. I have a list of a couple dozen covenants that a family may agree to. Kyle and I have one that we don't bottle things up. You know, if we, and that comes from each of us in times bottling things up. So we don't bottle things up. We share what we, before it becomes relational, we deal with the issue. If we bottle up, now it's about the relationship. That's not good. Yeah. We express appreciation. Here's a good one. We resist a temptation to pair or triangulate, as it might be called, when two of us are talking about a third person in the family. Nothing will break trust more than that. So how about this one? We give each other deep attention with our eyes and open posture. There's this thing in families and couples where it's called already listening. I'm already listening. I already know what you're going to say. And so my body language and tone, I already know what you're going to say. So I look down, like, that will break it. So we don't already listen. We listen attentively. So these are like, so when we go from roles, then we say, how do we pick things up? We start identifying these things.
So is the practice, you know, when working with a family to have them, I mean, these are obviously some kind of pre-written statements that they are to identify the ones that make the most sense for them, that they most relate with.
Absolutely.
To make it their own.
Yeah.
Maybe add a couple statements.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the third session of this workshop is where I do each family separately. And we've taken notes during the group sessions. And now it's to put their family business plan in place. Specifically, if I can do it in person, I do. I did this last year. You know, Tillman Builders is a great family, husband, wife, son. I met at their office, and it's just an amazing success story there.
That's actually been, you know, one change to the workshop structure itself is now we have two sessions that are more teaching, discussion, conversation with, you know, all the families that are involved, and then that one-on-one time with you to really put in their own family plan. Because at the end of the day, it's about your family. Yeah. Right? Your family is different than the next family. Yeah. Everyone operates differently. So getting that focused time to really focus on your plan, I think has been a really great change to how we do this.
Yeah, for me, it's meaningful because it's relational. I really get into the heart of what matters to each family.
You have often talked about the difference between ownership and management, not only in a family structure, but just in business in general, but especially in a family business environment. What is the difference and why does it matter so much?
I mean, this is so big in small business because owner-operated businesses are the most common. And let's just start with ownership. It's incumbent upon the owners to put the best management team in place. So managers, professional management team. And just because you own the business does not mean you are the best at some critical role in that business. Getting work, doing work, counting the work. You may not be good at those. So the bigger you get, the more we'd like to really establish separate meetings, ownership meetings versus management meetings. And so there's a document that we use that really identifies what the owners do. You know, owners establish the values, owners establish the vision, owners establish the profitability goals. The management then does the budget to make sure that those goals can be hit. The management is setting compensation for people, they're doing the annual plan. So owners should begin to separate themselves from the management and ask themselves, am I the best person as an owner? to be managing this function. And this whole concept of getting out of the hourglass is about being able to get out and then step back in where you want to and where you are most qualified to. So I'd like to have separate agenda items for an ownership meeting and a management meeting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I can imagine within a family environment how this comes into play, because there might be people in your family who you might want to have ownership of the business, but not necessarily management of the business.
That's a really great point. That's when you want to start talking about having long-term a board of directors in place, where a board can have management oversight and a board reports into the owners. The owners pick the board members to make sure that the management team you put in place are being the financial and management and cultural visionary stewards that you need them to be. So we can go, there's a whole module on boards, advisory boards. There's several companies that are putting one in place now, Stewart Painting.
I was thinking of Sheldon, because he and I actually did one probably a year or two ago on the building of his board. I mean, he was at the very onset at that time, but he talked about his daughters he wants them to have ownership, but not necessarily management.
So he has one daughter working in the business, one daughter not. He wants them both to be owners. So he actually put them both on the board. And now they're going to bring in some outside directors. So
very cool.
Yeah, and that really is a legacy kind of thing to do. It ensures the business stays healthy after the founder leaves. Painters USA, a large company, is putting this in place now. They're actually interviewing outside directors to be on the board to have oversight of the new CEO and that team in place. So. I'd like to get more companies we work with to begin thinking about boards.
I mean, that's a whole, I mean, obviously succession planning and, you know, developing a board is
one of the nine steps.
It's a topic within this workshop, but I mean, there's a whole other, if this is a topic that interests you, I mean, there's a whole other succession planning, you know, discussion that we can have with you one-on-one and talk about that. Obviously we've done podcasts on this, that process, and one thing that you're very passionate about. So let's talk about some of the other topics that are covered in this workshop. We've talked a little bit about setting roles and boundaries, family meetings and family values. What does that mean? I feel like that's where people can get like, I don't know about this.
So
sometimes I'm like, I don't know about this.
The family meetings are really important. We did our first family meeting. When do you think it was, Ma? 2018?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we were away. We were on a ski trip somewhere.
Yeah. Yes.
We were in the Poconos, I think.
Yeah. So it's a way to put the business in its appropriate place. And so we go through sample agendas. We first do some quick educating on family business in general, because there's not everybody works in the business. So we just want to educate them on some of the things we're talking about now. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about family values. And, you know, we haven't done this in a while. We're actually due for one of these meetings, Ma. The first family business meeting we had, our family picked family values. And just get ready for some tears to show up, because we have each family member has an equal weight in what they think a family value should be. And I still remember when Jack, who was not in the family business, he picked one that was significance and meaning, that he wanted to feel that he was significant in the family, and that you don't have to be in the business to be that way. And boy, it hit me hard.
Now there's spouses that are a part of the, and I don't think we've actually had a family meeting in a little while that has included both new spouses, you know, partners.
Yeah.
And that they're obviously involved in the dynamics. They hear us talking about things. So it's kind of like Jim and I just did a podcast on, you know, characteristics of a high performing team. when you lose somebody on from the team or when you gain somebody on the team changes.
I just heard that podcast this morning.
When you gain family members through different avenues, the family changes.
It does. It does. And it, you know, it's about expectations. So Agnes and I will share our vision with everybody. So where we are and a lot of personal stuff and
the next vacation plan.
Next
vacation,
exactly. And then we have each person do what I always call 5 minutes in the sun. Each person shares what's going on in their life and what their 5-year goals are. Then we'll do wedding updates. Colin and Bryn in that meeting gave their update. So it's a family meeting where
they've been married for a couple years now. So that's an old agenda, but that's like a unit. As a unit, you know, what's kind of going on in your world? What's a family event that we're maybe planning for?
So, I mean, it'd be really good to have a family meeting like this once a year. Like we just were out west skiing as a full family. I probably should have held a family meeting, even if it was informal. Maybe we did over tomahawk steaks on my birthday. I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of family time. We were together for 6 days, and
we were.
It was probably time for us to separate after that amount of time. No, but in reality, there was a lot of check-ins with spending time with different people on that trip. So it's almost like are you also taking time outside of the business to do family things with each other that are not related to the business, but are related to being a family and having fun and leaning into the things that you enjoy and relaxing and chilling out a little bit.
Yeah.
Or playing hard on the slopes.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I still remember a comment. I think I said this in a past podcast 9 years ago or 8 years ago when Colin said, "You're my boss, but you haven't been my father in a while." So, you know, comments like that resonate and remind me that being a father comes first.
Well, I would imagine it's really hard for you, whether it's like a Saturday afternoon at a brewery or we're on a trip like, you know, wherever we are or at the lake that, I mean, obviously business, you have balance or you protect, you know, times of getting your workout in and reading a book or going fishing. But I mean, work is your life. Like you are very passionate about what you do.
I love what I do.
You love what you do. So I would imagine it's really hard for you to hold back on things.
Yeah.
When like, I love what I do as well, but like, I don't need to talk about it on a Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock.
I send emails to everybody all week long.
Or like texts on a Sunday morning. I mean, we got back from Savannah and like Sunday morning I land and I had 2 texts about work things. And I was like, geez, man.
I just wanted to get them off of mine and
onto my plate. But it was 8 a.m. Sunday morning.
I was wrong.
Can you do this? Can you do that? I was like, dude. So like clearly we're still working on those things. But I know that it's hard for you to hold back on topics that you want to talk about or, just things you want to discuss in those times of just like levity and like off work times. You've definitely gotten better at it.
Well, so because I need to be intentional, you know, we talked about Atomic Habits in the Grand Summit and Mike Shannon said each year he picks a word and that word becomes his theme. And this year his theme is balance. A couple years ago, it was now, just do it now as opposed to, you know, procrastinating. My word is intentional and that's my word. Like, and I, you know, discipline is remembering what you want. And when you get to be my age, intention becomes really important if you want to maintain relationships, if you want to maintain your health, your being in shape, it can't be fly by night stuff anymore. And so I need to be intentional about the relationship with my kids. And so that's my word. It's my favorite word.
So obviously family meetings and, you know, creating or deciding as a group what your family values are. You know, what are the values like in a business that you're going to practice and live by? Then we talk a little bit about family employment agreements. What does that look like?
Well, this is interesting because, by the way, we have one of these and we also have a pathway to shareholdership that we'll talk about. So it's, again, it's clarity so that a person coming into the business, whether it's a spouse or a child, that they understand that the employee handbook applies to them in the same manner, that outside work experience is preferred, that early on the child or kid won't work for someone in the family, if at all possible, that there must be a position open to work in the family, that working in a family is not assumed. It talks about spouse employment. Does it mean that your spouse can also work here or not? And so, again, we're getting very explicit over this. And there's a sample four-page employment policy that we go through. And ours is only one page. And it doesn't need to be four pages, but it just sort of, you know. And then you start getting into shareholdership. Maybe let's move there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another kind of one of the topics, that the goal is that part of your family plan that you leave with working on is that you're building a pathway to what does that look like?
So we talk about in the succession planning process, transitioning management, very separate from transitioning ownership. Mm-hmm. It's much easier for people I'm working with to transition management. I'm not saying it's easy, but transitioning ownership, big deal. So what I'm finding is most kids, they do not know what their parents are thinking about ownership. Do my parents, are they going to die and then give me the shares? Or am I going to get the feeling of an owner while they're still here? Mm. So I very much believe in a document called A Pathway to Shareholdership. And when it's clear, I believe in a combination of gifting and selling. Mm-hmm. You gift some shares, and then with distributions from those shares, the kids can buy more shares. Over the course of 5 years, I'm working with several families now on that process. So like my goal is in 4 years to begin gifting shares to you two. Mm-hmm. And in 9 years, likely not have any ownership at all.
What does that look like? He's like, I might not be an owner, but I'm still here every day. Can't lose me.
So that's another intentional family business system that I think is important. As I'm telling clients now, I'm not telling you you need to give them shares now. I'm not, when we talk about this, I'm not talking about laying out the map so it's clear.
Yeah.
So if I have a child in their mid-30s, they know what that pathway is. And they could also begin to feel some ownership, mm-hmm. you know, understand what it means to be an owner. Because when you're an owner, you think differently.
Yeah.
You know, you think about, you know, you worry about different things, cash flow and all those things.
Well, and I would imagine without discussing these things and having clarity, you each have expectations around what's going to happen, and then things don't happen, and then you hold resentment. You feel like a promise has been broken, but there really was no promise established.
Great point. It's a great point. In your mind, there may have been something inferred.
Yeah.
Maybe something you heard that you inferred, and then you made up a story, and then no one's talking about it.
I have to give credit to Colin for that, because he said that to me on a podcast a couple months ago about just why people feel disappointment about expectations. And it's because it's a promise that they feel like has been broken that was never actually made in the first place. And that was like, that's so true.
It's so true.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you want to affect relationships, break promises, whether they were perceived or not. Mm-hmm. Something you said made me think that.
Right.
And so
I've been operating this whole time thinking that I'm going to have ownership one day, and you're never going to let go.
Yeah. So everybody on this podcast, understand this is about getting intentional about your future desires. And we don't wait till we're on our deathbed. We don't wait until a crisis has happened, which is another chapter, is getting a crisis plan in place. That's actually the first thing that I do now. In all succession planning, probably after the death of Jeremy Brooks and
Jeff Clifton.
Yeah, Jeff Clifton.
We've had several unfortunate scenarios where it's, I mean, one, not only tragic to, you know, to the businesses and the families and to us who work with those folks, but the impact that comes, the emotional impact, the work that comes from those situations. I mean, regardless of that situation is always going to be tragic, but you can do some things now to prevent the extension of the grief that's going to, the confusion of what's supposed to happen amongst the grief, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, all of these things, you know, tie obviously into succession planning. I mean, these are familial things. We've spoken to, you know, how important, succession planning is in general, not family business or not, but within a family business, obviously it holds another almost weight in itself. You know, what are some best practices for ensuring that transition among generations? I mean, I know we can even point to the podcast that I did with the A.G. Williams crew. I mean, George and Nick, they've been working with you. I mean, they're a family business. They're a fourth generation business, which is amazing. And obviously, while George Sr. did not want George and Nick to get into the business because he thought – 3-4 generations was enough. Obviously, they're in the business and they're going to take it to that, you know, take it forward. But there's work is behind making sure that transition happens smoothly.
Yeah, this is a good work that we're doing with George Williams and his sons and Ross Forbes and his two sons, and they are going to become president next year. And so the succession planning process has us identifying certain leadership competencies that they haven't built the muscle up with, a lot of strategic type things, in some cases business development, and so getting also the next generation involved in the visioning is really important. I'm starting to do this. I'm like, it's not just my vision. This is your vision too now. So getting them to write a vision for where they want the business to go and then having a talk with the owner about that and then starting. So that's really an important thing because the next leader is the one thinking 3 years out, where are we bringing this business? Mm-hmm. And again, how is a business going to serve our life and our family? How much growth do we really want?
Right.
How much growth that will impact us? And so an intentional leadership development plan based on competencies. We have 61 competencies. We have a brand new leadership competency assessment that we just developed that will be ready in the next week or two that can identify what leadership skills they need to work on to take over.
So there's a lot here. We've unpacked what maybe feels like a lot, but we've only unpacked kind of like the very top of the workshop itself, and more so like the themes that we like to really, you know, dive into. For those who are listening and are thinking, am I the right fit for this? I mean, obviously, this is one workshop, but we work with clients at different points in time on these things. But who are the people that are best suited for either this workshop or just to start thinking about this particular topic?
Well, I'll first start by saying couples, married couples. I'm just gonna start there. I do a fair amount of marriage counseling. Because I coach emotionally.
Well, we care here.
Yeah.
And so right? It's about the whole person.
Yeah.
So and I the whole help. Relationship.
And so when I see two people on a call and we're talking and I watch one person's face, the other spouse sort of make a frown of some kind, addressing that. And establishing boundaries, establishing roles, you know, like... The wife may say, I really never want to be a bookkeeper. I'm the bookkeeper because that's what was, I don't want it. I don't like it like that. So what role does each spouse want to play? And then obviously any family business where there's someone working in it, or someone is maybe 17, 18, 19, and I have a bunch of clients like this that I think my son's going to join the business. You know, he just worked for us this summer, and he's amazing. I want to start to bring him in. I'm like, great. Let's go to the family doctor before going to the ER.
Yeah. Like,
so a family doctor, let's go to the wellness doctor and say, what do we want to put in place so that when your son or daughter does want to come in, it's safe.
Son, daughter, niece, nephew.
Yeah, totally.
Anybody that there's some family connection that you want to protect that relationship. That relationship needs to come first before their role in the business.
I hear it, and everybody thinks, oh, it's fine. I don't need those things. Everything fine is fine until it's not.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell you. Everything, oh, it'll be fine. Then something happens. You know, Kevin and I have worked through a bunch of stuff over the years, and we've had to document various things like that. You can't take it for granted. You need to be intentional about the family business systems to put in place. I think that's the bottom line. And the workshop seeks to get you started on a plan to do that.
So if you are owners that are husband, wife, you employ, you know, son, daughter, niece, nephew, if you are, like you said, or a business owner that thinks they're going to have their child or niece or nephew join or spouse join one day, and you just want to begin to get introduced to the framework of this is also for you. This is really kind of the goal is to begin to educate on this topic and the different areas to explore.
Yes.
If you're not ready for this quite yet, if you're thinking, okay, this is something I need to dive into, but I'm not comfortable at the moment talking about this, or not quite ready for whatever reason it may be, you know, what's the appropriate first step? Do you have other resources out there that you recommend to get people to start thinking about these things?
Boy, I'm thinking of some books, and I can't think of a family business book, but let's follow up with a family business book that they can read. I think on our Summit Library, we've got some sample documents, sample family meeting, sample employment agreement, those type things.
Yep.
I think looking at those is pretty key. I think talking to other family businesses is probably important in Summit. I think I'd probably go there first.
Yeah.
So if someone is listening to this and has an interest in talking to a couple family businesses that have been through some of this, just to learn, let us know, and we will point you to a few people that you can talk to inside of the Summit Network.
Perfect. Just to wrap up here, the dates themselves of this workshop are Friday, May 10th and Friday, May 17th. Two sessions, 2 hours each. You attend both sessions, and then you do the one-on-one with Brian to really hammer out or begin to hammer out your family plan. It's great. We're looking for 3 to 4 families who will join us this year. We know we've got several family businesses that have not, you know, tapped into this that are maybe newer clients. So I'm excited to see kind of what comes from this. Any final words, Brian, on this topic?
Don't wait until there's an emergency. Don't wait until your son or daughter's not talking to you. Secondly, don't assume, don't presume they know what your, you know, intention is. Thirdly, the business serves the family. And fourthly, if you're a couple, married couple, protect your relationship at all cost. Keep the business separate. Work really hard at that. That'd be my first message, because it sort of starts family business starting with the mom and the dad, the husband and wife.
Yeah.
And that's so important to me. I've seen divorces happen all too often, actually.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
It's obviously a topic that is important, that is worthy of conversation, and in its seriousness, it can also be really exciting.
Totally. It's fun. It's really fun. once the family, if I, like I said at the start, if a family business is working, it's the best thing in the whole world.
We'll leave it there.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to this episode. Out of the Hourglass is recorded and produced by the team at Nolan Consulting Group, a nationwide business coaching and consulting firm with coaches located throughout the country. Have a question, comment, or idea for future episodes? We'd love to hear from you. Visit our website, www.nolancg.com.